Good afternoon, everyone. I know many faces in this room. Been here a few years now. My name's Bablin, for those that don't know me. I work with Site Cymru, and I've been working with Mega Focus, which some of you would know, and Site Life Group for a long time. And the focus there, Mega Focus, is obviously working across sector in addressing issues around ethnic minorities, access to ophthalmic care. Site Life was set up as a group about 5 years ago. It's more of a social platform for people with from ethnic minority background who do experience sight loss themselves or care for someone with sight loss. So when we were asked that we've got a slot at the conference to share patient experience from black and ethnic minority, I did go to the group and I said, we've got 15 minutes. Do you think who's up for it? And nobody was putting their hands up. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll break it up and maybe we can give three perspectives at this conference. So we did have three speakers. Unfortunately, Novlet, who's named on there, a good friend had passed away last week and the funeral is taking place today. So she's not with us, but I do have her speech with me, which I will read to you later. But I'll pass it to Zulfikar first and he'll share his experience first.
Good afternoon. Just going to talk about keratoconus quickly from my personal viewpoint. I had keratoconus in school, but it wasn't diagnosed till I was about 18. Because of that, I suffered all the way through school with not learning properly and many other issues. However, from Cardiff, I was transferred to Bristol Eye Hospital. I think it must have been in 1985 or something. And then I had two corneal grafts on the left eye, one after the other, because they failed. And I think about 10 years ago, perhaps, I had a corneal transplant on the right eye at Bristol Eye Hospital, which is still surviving. And, carrying on with my treatment. Last year, I had the corneal melt on the right eye. I did go to A&E in Cardiff, but the A&E consultant said I should wait a week or something till I had my appointment in Moorfields. When I got to Moorfields, they said, we can't really do nothing for your keratoconus because you're here for glaucoma. So the Saturday or Sunday following that appointment, I went to A&E, and the A&E team in Cardiff took up my case and administered more drops and tablets and things, and I think I must have been seeing them every other day or for about 6 to 8 weeks, I think. Slowly the cornea came back. It's not good cornea, but it's still surviving, which is okay for me. But in the future I may need a corneal transplant. But at the moment, there's no planned surgery at the moment. I hope the keratoconus services can become slightly better in Wales. And I believe that keratoconus is not a recognised condition at the moment, but I could be wrong on that. Thank you for listening to me, and pass you over to Mrs. Hussain now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. मेरा नाम शमीम है और मुझे कहा गया है कि मैं आपको अपनी ज़ुबान में अपने बारे में बताऊं. I think it has come as a shock to everyone that I can see your eyes. That's what happens when we are told about our illness by the doctors or anybody else in jargon which we don't understand, and that is how we feel when it is done to us. So now, what I'm saying. My name is Shamim Hussain. I live in Newport. I am from Pakistan, where I served Pakistan Navy for 13 years as Naval Welfare Officer. I came to UK after marriage. My husband was an electronic engineer and counselor. We had a very busy life, till he retired. After a few years, he was diagnosed to have Alzheimer's. For years, I was his main and only carer. He wouldn't trust anyone, so I was his carer 24/7 at time. One day, I felt that I can't see from one eye, that my sight is distorted. And it was after 2 days when I had my eye test. I rushed back to my doctor and I was sent back to optician. And she said that I've got 45 degrees loss, of vision loss. And she thought that it was a macular hole. And she referred me to Royal Gwent Hospital as an emergency case. At hospital, they kept on doing tests and calling me every 4 weeks, but I didn't understand what was going on. This went on for a whole year before I was sent to Cardiff for surgery, which wasn't effective because macular hole had become too big and I lost sight in my right eye. After the surgery, I failed to take care of myself. A, I was caring for my husband. B, I did not understand what care I should take for myself because I've never heard of macular hole before. Nothing was ever explained to me. I had no one to go to. 2 years later, same thing happened with my other eye. I was devastated. Didn't want to lose sight in my other eye because I was looking after my husband and I was getting older and we had no one over here in this country. I was scheduled for another surgery after 4 months, still not knowing much about the disease. And I didn't know who to ask. A social worker came to see my husband. I told her what was happening to me, and she gave me a signature card of Sight Cymru. That was the first time I heard about Sight Cymru. I didn't know what it meant. Then I contacted Sight Cymru, and Nirmala came to my house the very next day. Then I had all sorts of information, services and support in terms of how I arranged my house and help for my husband. She visited me a few times after the surgery to check my well-being. Later on, Diana introduced me to the library services, public transport, white stick, special stationery and visual aids, and also how to ask for help while traveling by train or by bus. I had lost my confidence and felt shocked and went into depression for quite a long time until I received help from Nirmala and Diana. I also want to share the experience and support I had from the human guide provided by the guide dogs. I'm really grateful to them. Mrs. Yvonne Starson was my human guide. She was a fantastic lady. She helped me with getting shopping, using buses, trains, crossing the road, and other helps. It was a great help. I want to thank all those people who helped me. I wish I had more help from my doctors, hospitals, before and after surgery, my first surgery. I might not have lost my sight. Also, sometimes information online or in leaflets don't help, as in situations like mine, one needs someone to explain the things to us personally. Thank you very much.
I will now read out the words of Novlett Gordon. Good afternoon, my name's Novlett. I worked as a mental health nurse for 25 years when my sight loss glaucoma was detected and diagnosed. I lost everything. I had to take early retirement and stop my career there and then. There was no support or signposting. I didn't know where to go for support. I went to the job centre and spoke to the security guard there. He gave me a disability allowance form and gave me the address for a support centre which helped people with disability. I was referred to ROVI service, the rehabilitation service, and Diana came to see me. Things began to change. Diana came to my house. She went throughout the house and moved lighting, powering, etc. She checked everything to make the house safe for me. When she asked me what my ethnicity was, I told her, can't you see I'm black? She told me, no, I can't see. I didn't understand at that time, but now I do. As I have sight loss, people with sight loss can do things, and they can find ways around to do things, as Diana taught me. There are hindrances, not because of the sight loss, but because of the people around you. They want to do everything for you and think, or think, how can you possibly keep your house clean or do your cooking if you claim to have sight loss? These things make you lose your confidence in yourself and your self-esteem. And so it's best to avoid those people in your life and join groups like Sight Life, where we do things together and we help each other grow. And that was Noblet's story, briefly. I've been listening to the presentations today and taking on board many of the points raised. I think with the group that I work with, maybe in the ethnic minorities, there's many barriers we have, many health conditions they have, and situations they face in their life. And quite often the confusion in the service we provide, you know, whether you're sent to Moorfield for a part of your service, as Zulfi Carr pointed out, or you're seeing someone in Cardiff, the clearness of what's happening to you is not there for many of the patients, particularly from the ethnic minority, as Mrs. Hussain pointed out, you know, when professionals, medical professionals, communicate in jargon language to them, it's not easy for them to understand and get hold of things. When her condition was taking place, she was thinking it's probably something like cataract and you'd be treated and it'd be fine, the sight will be fine. But things change without them knowing, and it's so important that we do connect up the third sector, the social sector, within the health. So the ECLO officers play a vital role indeed in our clinics, but it's important that even the health professional, whether you're optometrist, low vision service, or an ophthalmic doctor sitting in the hospital, you're aware of the third sector work and can signpost people that way too. So that's what I'd like to finish on. Thank you.